Satan.
It is 3:36 here on Sports Radio 96.7, 1310, The Ticket. This is the Hardline 5.0. Here today on this Thursday, and here today on this November 20th, and here today in studio with you, the good P1, Perrone.
Oh, no.
Today is Rant Revival Day. Gordon will join us at 4:50 for E-News, and then we'll do the ranty stuff at 5:15. Trifecta at 4:15. Lots and lots and lots of football along the way. Peek inside the Mavs scene. Tons to talk about. Matter of fact, CeeDee Lamb just spoke to the media and said that he and George Pickens were at the Rocket Casino. Is that what it was called? Rock and Roll Casino? Anyway, a casino having dinner and drinks, and they missed curfew, and that's why they got suspended.
Red Rock Casino.
Red Rock.
So,
bingo.
Did the former Cowboy Red Rock? Did he think he bought a casino?
There's no way. Fullback Robert Thomas.
Yeah,
there's no way. So they missed curfew so bad that he was vomiting in the casino at 7:30 in the morning.
So he said that report is very much untrue. Like, where did that come from?
I don't know. I just saw it.
He said, wrong. "Quote: I can handle my liquor." So, whoever said that he was throwing up, and so he was supposedly throwing up the morning of the game.
Yeah.
Like just throwing up in a casino.
Yeah, like very Max McGee style.
Just on the roulette table.
Yeah. Or was he in a bathroom? Well, he says it didn't happen, that he was just fine, and he played very well on Monday. So, CeeDee Lamb. I believe CeeDee.
I bet you do.
All right, let's helpline it.
214-520.
Did you hold his hair?
Help.
Absolutely.
The Hardline Helpline.
It's okay, baby. We all make mistakes.
Just get it all out.
You're going to feel so much better here in a minute, babe.
520. Help.
Why are you calling me babe?
The Hardline Helpline.
Thought I'd try.
Just give it a shot, babe.
The Hardline Helpline.
Brought to you by
A1 Locksmith Security and Safes. Hardline.
Thank you, Mr. Ham. Okay, so we mentioned, oddly enough, so we were in the Raiders suite on Monday night with Dave Stabler and Marissa Stabler and Wells Stabler. All the Stablers. And I saw immediately that Jim Plunkett was there.
Yeah.
Jim Plunkett, who won the Super Bowl for the Raiders two times. The only two-time winner not to be in the Hall of Fame. He was an awesome, awesome quarterback. Heisman Trophy winner at Stanford. So I was kind of freaked out as a kid. I was pretty obsessed with the story of Jim Plunkett. And then in that Super Bowl against the Eagles, he threw an 80-some-odd-yard touchdown pass to Kenny King.
That he did.
That, at the time, it may still be, I don't remember, the longest touchdown pass reception in Super Bowl history. Has that been broken? Surely so.
Yeah, I feel like it has, but I don't have a good list here for you. Let me work on that.
Okay. And so, it was a big moment for me because Kenny King was part of the Billy Sims, David Overstreet backfield at OU, and I love Kenny King. And so this guy calls up with the most random story about Kenny King and why he didn't go to Texas, why this guy didn't go to Texas. And then he asked an even larger question that we as the show must discuss.
Hardline, I need a little help understanding something. Basically, flatulence. I've been reluctant to call for months now based on what I've been hearing on your show. On Tuesday, you mentioned Jim Plunkett. And in the conversation regarding Jim Plunkett, you threw in the name Kenny King. I know that touches a nerve with Corby. But Kenny is an acquaintance. I consider him a friend. He still lives in the area here. And when you guys brought him up, I thought of a story that Kenny told me. When he came out of high school and he was being recruited by the University of Texas, And he went on a recruiting trip to Austin to meet Darryl Royal. The recruiter brought him down to meet Darryl Royal. And they met in Darryl Royal's office. And at some point, Kenny said, Darryl suggested that they go over to the cafeteria and get some food. So they were walking along this hallway, four of them. Darryl Royal and one of the other coaches were walking ahead. And the recruiter that was recruiting Kenny was walking behind alongside Kenny. Kenny said he was directly behind Darryl Royal. And as they were walking along, going toward the cafeteria, Kenny told me that Darryl Royal cocked his leg up and farted in his face. And he thought that was so rude and disrespectful. And he could not wait to get to Norman. When Norman called, he went there. And the rest of the story is history. I was wondering if this is some sort of cultural thing, because most of the people in the community that I know, they think of farting flatulence as disrespectful and just flat out antisociable. But guys that are not from the community seem to have this fascination with farting. I hear it all the time on your show on the Hardline. I think the other day, Dave even mentioned something about his little boy farting or something, which was, you know, there are times, I guess, when it's humor in it, but for the most part, it's not funny. Maybe you guys can help me out to understand if this is some cultural thing. Maybe I'm biased or whatever culturally, but I don't find it funny.
Yeah.
And obviously, Kenny King didn't find it funny, because he said that there was no way he was going to go to University of Texas when Darryl Royal farted in his face like that. And I'm sure Corby can appreciate that. Well, have a good day, guys.
Yeah.
That's the best helpline we've ever had.
I witnessed this morning.
Oh, with Matt.
Yeah. That right after Picks with Friends, I was still in here and Matt farted and Donnie was so mad. So mad. And Matt didn't think anything of it. Like, he didn't think it was funny. He was trying to, it wasn't audible. It was like an SBD, but right. he was trying to just slide it by and didn't think he did anything wrong.
Right. Well, do you guys remember
the... the discussion is, do farts...
transcend race?
Basically divide down racial lines. Is it something else that...
All right. Do you remember?
I thought it was just all dudes thought farts were funny.
Do you guys remember? Dave, you might remember this more than Bob, because Bob may have been like within the first year that he got there, but or here. But Chris Arnold used to do the 10 to noon show here before Norm, and this was back in the 90s, from like 94 to 99.
Okay.
And so there was a time when we were talking about this very subject. And he got really, really animated, and he said very loudly, black people don't fart on each other, or black guys don't fart, and it turned into a drop.
Isn't the counter that in general white people don't either?
They fart around each other.
I don't know that all do. I think Dave takes great joy in looking at us when he makes a sound from his bottom and takes real pleasure in that. I don't know if he speaks for all white people.
No.
Well, I mean,
probably more so.
When I was in college, my roommates and I had a World Series of farts. We had a 7-game series and we counted our farts every day.
What does that even mean? Oh, really?
Yeah. And then there's the Craig, Craig
and counting.
Yeah.
The Craig and George story where they had a big old jam box with a tape in it that just said like 1984 fart, and they would, anytime they had to fart, they went and hit record and farted into the jam box and then had this long tape of farts. So I don't think black guys do that.
No.
And they don't have the World Series of farts either.
What is wrong with y'all? Black people do not fart on each other.
Okay, he's quoting Chris.
I don't find the drop in here.
Yeah. Play that again.
What is wrong with y'all? Black people do not fart on each other.
Yes, that he is definitely quoting Chris.
Amazing.
And that was a huge point of contention back in the day. And I always found it funny because, you know, in high school and college, that's all we did. Same thing. And, you know, I just thought, I kind of thought everyone did it too, but maybe this guy's saying even he sounds about what Kenny King's age, probably in the '60s.
Kenny King is 68 and apparently lives close enough by that there's one way to get to the bottom of this Daryl Royal story.
Oh my God. If that guy can hook us up with Kenny King.
Or anybody. Be on the lookout for Kenny King.
To tell the Daryl Royal story.
I think my postman knows Kenny King, because we've talked about this.
Really?
Yeah.
As a Raider? Like he saw Raider stuff in your house?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, he's our postman, so he knows.
He knows that you're Dave Stabler.
Yeah, he knows I'm Dave Stabler. And I've talked to him a few different times, and he was like, you know who Kenny King is? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, he's a friend of mine. So if I see him, I'll ask.
So Daryl Royal, according to this story, hiked his leg up. That feels believable, I suppose. Football coaches
and all.
How old
would Daryl Royal have been in 1970? He retired that year. That was his last
year.
Yeah, that was his last year before Fred Akers came along. 77, I think, was Fred's first year.
Well, I'd have him at like 53 years old then.
Okay.
Still in your farting prime, as Dave teaches us every day.
In the wheelhouse of his farting days.
I don't know if you can then term that as, quote, farting in his face, but I suppose in his general direction would be fair.
Immediately behind him, so he's downwind.
Not a way to land a 5-star, no doubt.
No.
But if that's the reason why he didn't go there, that is hilarious.
Well,
like, Mom, I can't do it. Why? Were they mean?
I guess let us hear from you. If
the head coach farted on me.
You'd like to speak on behalf of the community or any other ethnic group out there that...
My Instagram algorithm definitely, aside from boobs...
If YJ wants to speak for
Asians.
For another group.
Yeah. Okay.
Pro or con farting?
I don't think YJ is a good representative of any community.
Liam?
Liam Takahashi, yes.
We could have like the world map and we can kind of color code based on pro or con in this space.
My algorithm, in addition to serving up boobs, also serves up fart content. And, I mean, there's so much good fart content out there that the community's missing out on. Like the predict my fart where you have couples and the guy says, hey babe, predict my fart. And then she'll make a mouth fart, and then he'll do his real fart, and when they sync up, when they're exactly right, it's hilarious. And then there's the
what are you watching?
Then there's
dude?
the people like farting in grandma's oxygen machine.
But
the best one is the guy at like the candle store, and he takes the cork off the candle and farts into it and puts the cork back on. He's like, babes, this smells weird. Smell this.
But it's always white people?
Oh, it's always white people.
I like that. I have seen the guy that's walking like the streets of Europe or wherever, and there's a camera far away filming it all, and he's mic'd up, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he just randomly will fart in a crowd of people as you're walking. And I like that guy.
Yeah.
Like
that guy's genius.
That guy seems like he has a lot of fun.
But ugly American?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. But real funny. Yes.
That's really
I laugh very hard. I have a hard time believing that the community doesn't laugh at that either. All right. Point of this story, Kenny King.
Yeah.
We have to get Kenny King on.
Yes. At some point.
Yes. We want to talk about two different things. One of the longest receptions in Super Bowl history and the Daryl Royal story.
And he would also know your father-in-law.
Yeah.
He would definitely played with Kenny. So,
by the way, Kenny King's Super Bowl reception to tie up that loose end, still tied for third all-time in Super Bowl history, but the 80-yard reception has been passed in second place, 81 yards, Antonio Freeman in Super Bowl 32.
You should have known that.
It was a Super Bowl we don't talk about.
Oh, sorry.
They lost that one.
Sorry.
And then also in a losing effort, Super Bowl... I can't do the trick anymore, guys.
38.
Thank you. Patriots, Panthers, Musin Muhammad from Jake Plummer. Jake Delhomme.
Yeah.
Caught a 85-yard touchdown pass.
Kenny has the longest in a win.
Down in Houston, I think. Yes, so right. Kenny has the longest in a win. That's right.
Super Bowl 32, isn't that Jerry feeding Jubb a hot dog in a limo?
I believe that was 31 in New Orleans.
Okay.
This is 32 that was played in San Diego?
Okay.
I think. I don't know if you heard the Hardline yesterday with the Hardline Helpline, which is really do enjoy that segment as they are taking calls and answering questions or even emails about different things. And it was a story about Kenny King. Don't know if you heard it, but Kenny King, who went to OU, played at OU, was on a recruiting trip to Texas. Daryl Royal ripped butt right in front of him, and he vowed never to play at Texas again.
So crazy.
And that's why he went to OU. And so the guy who was on the phone was a friend of his and said, a brother, and was saying that he thinks it's kind of crossing racial lines as far as thinking farts are funny or not funny. We had a little incident yesterday in studio.
We did?
Oh, you have it? Okay. Now, yes, we had a little bit of an incident yesterday in studio that kind of brought that to light. So let's check it out what happened yesterday during Picks with Friends.
Great. Why do you sound like you have a dart in your neck? What's going on? Are you okay?
What? I don't know.
Have you had a couple of frozen awesomes or something?
In slow motion.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't feel good about these games. No.
I want. Hey, are you? Can you not pick?
Sorry.
So, George, because of your history with North Texas and broad.
So when I said okay, that's when it hit me right there in the face.
You can hear you sniff.
Okay, it's like, okay.
What is this?
And then I look over because this is not instance number one that's just happened. It's like instance 1,000. Well, no, we haven't had 1,000 shows.
Maybe.
But it's close.
Twice a show.
And so then he looked at me with this incredulous look like, what? And then realized as he clouded up the room like Pigpen exactly what was happening. Okay, continue.
Oh, are you okay?
What? I don't know.
Have you had a couple of frozen awesomes or something?
In slow motion.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't feel good about these games. No.
I want. Hey, are you? Can you not pick? George, because of your history with North Texas and broadcasting, can you not pick them to triple?
George said it was okay.
No, it's not.
No, it's not because of that. I could, but I just don't want to jinx them. I just don't want to mess them up. They're on such a run. I just don't want to mess anything up.
You know, I don't want to mess Oklahoma up. That's why I was reluctant to pick them, but I'm still going to do it.
It hasn't hit me yet. I'm sorry.
7.5. Just look, at this point, just win by 1 point, OU. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
Running them out of the building.
Just get a win.
Sending them back north of the red. You know what I'm saying?
No. And I'm
going to
be there.
Oh, God, there it is.
By the way, Jubb.
Taking the copter?
Good God.
Klatt hates the group
like
of five.
Minutes ago.
Yeah, I mean, I
oh,
love
my goodness.
I buy the channel every week. I heard that, and that's really rough. Hurt my heart.
But he's not wrong.
It's hard to hear.
Oh, my.
Dude, you got to chill out.
Sorry, McLaren blew ass in here. Everybody's freaking out.
You got to chill out. Seriously. That is ridiculous.
I just do it because George does.
No, not like that, though.
Yeah, he does.
That's
mine are funny.
Mine's funny.
This one was not funny.
That has nothing funny about it.
Kind of. It smells like a dead animal.
Oh. God, dog, dude.
Well, I almost cursed.
That was so great because, we're having these weird off-mic conversations of realization, and they're just carrying on with this conversation about football.
That was the worst.
No, that wasn't the worst.
Dude.
Close, but no.
It's a shared space.
I'll give you the word.
Let's just respect the shared space.
Can we back up for a second? And what was going on with George's voice? It was pitched down.
I know. Yeah. I don't know. But
really
it's
strange.
Even from the very beginning, it sounded
just
like he was
a little
going,
bit lower than it usually is.
Sounded like he was going 33 and a third.
There's a lot.
It's an album reference, youngsters. An album reference.
I'm telling you.
But no, that well, not here. Hmm. And the muffled sound that I had my nose inside of my shirt.
Look at me.
And you're backed away, too.
Well, you were way over there.
I was trying to get away from it.
You're trying to get
it.
The ceiling.
I'm just sitting here enjoying it.
Can you realize how bad it was?
Yeah.
It was so when it happened, because you're the first one to smell it if you make the sound. Like, you know that that's going to emanate through the air to everybody. Like, were you waiting for the reaction, watching? looking at
No, because I there's no telling how many he'll let through. Like, he probably let a couple go already here in 926.
No, I haven't this
morning. And not even expecting it to just cloud up everything.
No, he had to warn us this morning that he wouldn't be doing that because he already had to air his car out this morning.
And I think that the only reason you say that is because of what happened yesterday. You probably still would just, oh, my gosh, more room out than in. Let's go.
Number one.
Yeah.
Look at me.
It's dangerous to hold them in.
Well, it's more dangerous for you to let that S go.
It's just like 30 seconds of discomfort for you guys.
It wasn't 30 seconds.
I could have a problem where I need to go to the doctor.
No, you have a problem.
We were a minute in when Mino finally smelled it. So Donovan was in hell for 60 seconds.
Davey had no problems.
I think he's a little sick. I don't think he can smell anything. And I was willing to catch whatever he had than smell that. That's where I was willing
to
go.
Tell you what, next time I'll just go into the control room.
Wait, hold on. Wait a second.
I told you next time it happens, and I'm going to get up, grab my headphones, and go into the ticker booth and do the show until I feel it's gone.
You were really mad, and I felt bad about it.
It'd be so egregious to walk in here, rip ass, and walk out.
No, because my luck, it'll clamp on and follow him back in here.
Get through the double pane window here.
Yeah, because that's happened before where you thought that I did it in here, but I didn't. I did it out in the hall or wherever, and it just stuck to me.
It got stuck in your jeans?
Yeah. Like, it's happened where I mean, what am I supposed to do?
You're supposed to not do, go to the bathroom and stand there.
I've done that. And then I walk back and it just trails with me. So it's like a ghost. It's attached.
You need a camera down there to see what the hell's going on. You know what? You need your vents cleaned. You need something else going on. But, man, it was just wild that that conversation happened on the hard line. After you,
it is weird.
You bombed the studio.
If there was a farting league, it would not look like, you know, the NBA.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, you're right.
I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Hey, I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm going to get you high today. Because it's Friday. You ain't got no job. And you ain't got shit to do.
The NFL is on the ticket this Monday night at 7 after the hard line. It's the Panthers and the 49ers. Brought to you by Mullen & Mullen Injury Law Firm and Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310. The Tick.
Lamb of God is coming to the Pavilion at Toyota Music Factory April 11th. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at LiveNation.com. You can text Lamb to 22126 to win your way in. That's Lamb to 22126.
All right. Thank you, DJ. Friday Fun is on its way. It's sponsored by
Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views.
We are live at Maple Branch Brewery here in Fort Worth, Texas, where they are promoting their big P1 beer and P1 six-pack, Santa's Sweet Tooth, a yummy stout, perfect for the Christmas time. We've all had some food today. We're going to have a drink here in a minute. But we were lucky enough to be in Las Vegas for the Raiders-Cowboys game. And thanks to Dave and his wife, we were lucky enough to be in the Raiders suite, one of the Raiders suites.
The Carol Davis suite.
Yes, Al Davis's former wife, who had just passed away. Or I guess wife. They both passed away. And we were lucky enough to sit in there, and one of the first people that that I saw, I'm drawing a blank.
Jim Plunkett.
I keep on saying Jim Stabler, but no, we saw Jim Plunkett. Sorry.
Two-time Super Bowl champion.
I was freaking out because Jim Plunkett was such a big part of my youth. And so we struck up a conversation with Jim. And the first thing I said was, you know, basically played Chris Farley with him and said, hey, tell me about that play to Kenny King. Because at the time, in that Raiders Super Bowl against the Eagles, that was the longest pass play in Super Bowl history. And he starts talking to me about Kenny King, and sure enough, we're retelling that story the other day.
Oh, and by the way, Bob in his crack research determined it is still the longest scoring play in a Super Bowl victory.
Exactly, exactly.
And we told that story the other day, and a fellow called up and told us a very interesting story about Kenny King. And I, being an Oklahoma fan, did not know that Kenny King lived in these parts. And his neighbor, Kirk, reached out on email and said, he's my next door neighbor. I'm like, what? And he's like, I bet you Kenny would come on and talk to you guys. And especially about this one story that we heard. We're like, well, let's do it. And so on our phones now, we are joined by two-time Super Bowl winner, an Oklahoma legend himself, the great Kenny King.
Wow.
Hi, Kenny.
Hey guys. How you doing?
We're doing very good.
So awesome to talk to you.
So, okay, Kenny, how long have you lived in DFW?
Since 2007.
Okay. So you've been here for a while. Did you move back here for work?
Yes. I came back with FedEx, and I just retired a couple of years ago. So now I'm just sitting at home doing nothing.
Well, congratulations.
Congratulations on that.
That's where we all want to be. So, yeah, we were talking with Jim Plunkett, and the first thing that Jim said when I was asking him about that 80-yard touchdown pass, he goes, you know, I almost didn't throw it because Kenny didn't have very good hands. Kenny came from Oklahoma, and they didn't throw the ball back then.
Well, Kenny was a fullback at Oklahoma, so I didn't even touch the ball that much. I did a lot of blocking. But, you know, I tell you what, that was amazing because on the play itself, you know, here's Bobby Chandler coming across the field, and that's who I thought he was throwing it to, and next thing I know, it's in my hands.
That's awesome. Man, what a moment. And it's funny because I remember watching this as like an 8-year-old, and I remember my dad, who never played a down of football in his life, Kenny. I want to tell you that. But he had some issues with how you carried the football on that touchdown, because it kind of looks like you're just holding the top end of it and running down the field.
Like a loaf of bread?
He did not secure the ball, and my dad wanted two hands on the ball, so just he had some thoughts for you, Kenny.
Well, let me just say this. Did I score or did I not score?
That's what I said.
So it doesn't matter how I carried the ball, whether I carried it like a loaf of bread, whether I carried it like a cradle baby, it doesn't matter as long as you score.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well
right.
done. And you beat the Eagles, and so we congratulate you on all of that.
Yeah, so
Thank you. That's
how your name came up in conversation this week on the show, is talking about that conversation that Corby had with Jim and reminiscing about the Super Bowl against the Eagles. And so then we had a caller that left us a message and had a story about you, because he had, I guess, this was kind of a non sequitur, because it's not like we were telling a bunch of fart jokes this week, but we do reference flatulence a fair amount on this show, I guess.
Okay.
And, yeah, so it's kind of our foundation.
So he called and he left us a message, and he was wondering why we are so fixated on flatulence. And he said, he's a member of the community, and he said that we think that that's disrespectful and we don't think it's funny. And as a matter of fact, I have this story about Kenny King, and he went on to tell the story of being recruited at Texas.
All right, so
are you going back to University of Texas, 1975, yeah. Darryl Roll and Timmy Dore?
Okay, so let's let's back up. So, where did you go to high school?
I went to high school, Clarendon High School.
Okay, so you're from Texas, and
yes.
And you were recruited by everyone, I'm assuming. You were a very highly rated prospect. And did it come down between Texas and Oklahoma?
No. It came down between Texas. It came down between Oklahoma and Texas A&M.
Okay. So you were either going to be an Aggie or you were going to be a Sooner. But at some point, Texas was in the mix, correct?
No.
But you took a visit, regardless.
Oh. The only reason I took the visit, I'd already signed a letter of intent to go to the University of Oklahoma. Switzer said, Kenny, I think it'll be in your best interest to at least give Texas an opportunity, give them a visit. So I said, okay, fine. I'll go, you know, just on, you know, on your say. So I'll go ahead and do this. And when I went to Texas, I got there. And Delois Dodd and Darryl Roll Dolores Dodge was the assistant athletic director, and they started, I mean, they put me in a room and just, hey, I chose to go there because I think it's a better, it gives me a better chance of playing.
Okay, wait. Hold off, Kenny. Back up a little bit because we had to dump you. You can't say the S word on radio. It's no problem.
Oh, but, shoot.
Yeah,
oh, shoot.
Yeah. So they're basically saying to you, DeLoss Dodge and Darryl Roy, they're asking you, what is Oklahoma giving you to go to school there? And you're like, they're not giving me anything.
They're not giving me anything. Yes, that's what I meant to say.
Yes. That's okay. Perfect.
So in your defense, you're like, look, no, I just want to go to school there, basically. But they didn't believe you?
No, it's like I chose Oklahoma because when I just liked what I saw at the University of Oklahoma, and the decision was already made. Going to Texas would have been a long shot for me because, hey, you've got Roosevelt Leakes who's going to be a senior my freshman year. You got Earl Campbell who's going to be a sophomore my freshman year. So by the time I get, if I do get a chance to play, it might be my senior year.
Right.
So you gotta look at the factors of that. So with that being said, I was like, you know what, if I go to Oklahoma, they run the wishbone. You got a fullback and two halfbacks. So there's three opportunities for me to break into that lineup by my sophomore season.
Okay, and so then they understand that and you guys start walking around, and what transpired after that?
Oh, after I told them, you know, that that's not going to work, I just want to go home. Timmy Dore, who was recruiting me, he and Coach Royal was walking about 5 feet in front of me. And we were walking over to the chow hall. And Coach Royal decided to relieve himself of some toxic gas.
No way.
Oh, yes way.
Did he kind of pause his gait and lift his leg?
He did. He walked in stride and jacked that thing up and and Timmy, Coach Dore was so embarrassed. All he could do was just hang his head. And so that night I was supposed to go out. I was supposed to get with Earl Campbell and a couple of other players, and they were supposed to come and get me and take me out on the town. Well, nobody showed up. Then the next morning, Coach Dore shows up at the hotel, picks me up, takes me to the airport and says, hey, do you need any cash? I said, no. So all I want to do is get on a plane and get out of here and go tell Switzer what has happened.
And how'd that go?
He says, "Don't worry, you're gonna get a chance. You're gonna get a chance of playing for 4 years. That's how you get your revenge back." But it was just.
So, did you think that the passage of gas by Coach Royal was a direct response to you saying you didn't want to go there?
Yes. Yes. He made it very clear that he was not happy with my decision because of the way he did it. I mean, you know, I've been in a store with my mom. My mom passed away a few years ago. And my mom was like 90, which was 93, 94 years old when she passed away. My mom would be in the store now, and you hear this. And she didn't look around. She just continued going on about her business. And it doesn't matter the smell or the toxicity of it. It was just, that was just relieving herself. Coach Roll knew exactly what he was doing. He knew when he did it, why he did it, and he'll never say that he did it. He's not here to defend himself. But I guarantee you, if you were ever to talk to Timmy Dore, if he's still alive, he will tell you yes, because he don't want to go. He don't want to try to go to Pearly Gates and say, "Yeah, I was with Coach Royal when Coach Royal decided to
fart on Kenny King.
It's a crop dust, Kenny."
Bro, I was shocked.
Okay, so how aware is Coach Switzer of this?
You know, I don't think I ever told Coach. I never told him about it. You know, it was one of those things where, you know what, who's going to believe you?
Right. No, it's a incredible story. And then Coach Royal, did he stick around there through what, your sophomore year maybe before he retired?
He left. I don't even know when he left, because Fred Akers took over. He took over for Coach Royal.
I think that was 78.
Yeah. So that was my junior year.
Okay.
So I think Fred was a.
And you end up going to OU, and you end up running the wishbone in Billy Sims' backfield with David Overstreet. Then you're drafted by the Oilers with Earl Campbell, and then you played with Marcus Allen. You played with three of the biggest legend running backs that ever lived in that era.
Dude, I had a T-shirt say "Block for the Heisman." Billy Sims, Billy. I mean, you got Billy Sims, Earl Campbell, Marcus Allen, and Jim Plunkett. Block for the Heisman.
This is the amazing Kenny King, who is here to verify that the Daryl Royal story is real.
It's true.
It's real.
And also to throw his mom under the bus for very similar offenses at grocery stores.
Do you share the opinion that the white folk have a different view of flatulence than the community does?
Yeah. Well, you know, he was very proud of himself because it was, you know, because you know how, you know, some people do that. I mean, they just like to, you know, do that and just to see the reaction of other people's faces.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he was very proud of what he had just accomplished.
So funny.
I know the feeling.
Usually it's around familiar people, though.
Recruits.
Not when you're trying to land a recruit.
Well, here's the thing. He knew he had lost me.
Yeah.
I was already gone.
His whole body indicated that he knew he was out of this race.
I know you ain't coming here, so guess what? Take this.
Amazing.
Oh, my God. All right, Kenny. Listen, we appreciate it. Do you make it up to Norman ever for games?
Not that often. I mean, I don't travel as much as I used to, but I spend more time in Vegas.
Oh, you do? Okay, cool. Awesome. Well, look, man, it's been a pleasure. It's good to know that you're in town. Hopefully we get to catch up with you again. We appreciate everything, my man.
Give me a shout. Thank you, guys.
Unbelievable.
All right,
Thank you, Kenny.
There he goes.
Bye,
Kenny.
The great Kenny King.
Super Bowl legend, Kenny King.
Farted on by Daryl Royal.
Amazing.
With malice.
So
that was Friday fun right there.
I tried, and it's just so dodgy with Switzer. We tried to get Barry on the phone and have him sit through that story, and then we were going to go to Barry and Norman for his reaction, but we couldn't get in touch with him. But whatever.
I mean,
the story sells itself.
I don't know how we would have fit that in.
No, I don't either.
Kenny told us his mom.
His 90-year-old mother just rips one in the grocery store.
So awesome. All right.
Incredible.
There you go. There's Friday fun.